Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kehan. Today, we'll discuss the article by Hadid et al. Titled, Impacts of Prolonged Sitting with Mild Hypercapnia on Vascular and Autonomic Function in Healthy, Recreationally Active Adults. This article was published August 4th, 2020. Joining me today are Editor-in-Chief Irv Zucker, lead author Song Young Park, and expert Camilla Wenceslau. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara, and welcome to our listeners and to Song and Camilla for being here for this, what should be a very interesting discussion of an interesting human physiology paper. And I think this is a highly relevant study given the lifestyle of a large segment of people in the developed world. I think it's no surprise to anyone that being sedentary elevates risk for cardiovascular disease. There are many studies that have now shown sedentary behavior evokes abnormal endothelial function as well as cardiac and metabolic abnormalities in relatively healthy people who are inactive. The American Heart Association, by the way, their guidelines on exercise of a minimum of 150 minutes per week are clear and based on a whole variety of clinical studies over the years. However, what is less clear is the effect of short-term inactivity on vascular function, which brings us to the relevance of the current study. In addition to work environments and schools, air handling and the sedentary nature predispose individuals to both prolonged sitting and changes in atmospheric components that may differ from ambient air to the outdoors. This may be especially important now during the COVID pandemic. Song, let's get started by you explaining the rationale for this study a bit and a little bit about the methodology and what you found.
Oh, thank you, Irv. Yes, recent studies reported that approximately 25% of Americans sit for more than 8 hours per day. And sitting time has been shown to be an independent risk factor for cardiovascular disease and all-cause mortality. Additionally, people are experiencing prolonged sitting in high carbon dioxide condition, which is around 1500 ppm, and this is four times higher than atmospheric condition, which is similar to what is experienced their daily lives in workplaces and school classrooms. Therefore, our key questions for this study was to examine the potential detrimental interactions between mild hypercapnia and prolonged sitting on autonomic nervous system activity, vascular function, and microvascular oxygenation. More specifically, endothelial function and microvascular function were assessed. And the most interesting findings that we found from this study were that the prolonged sitting attenuate both systemic and peripheral vascular endothelial function and also microvascular function. Additionally, prolonged sitting with mild hypercapnia, which is similar to everyday environments in the office or school classroom, further exacerbates peripheral endothelial function and microvascular function. So more specifically, first, the activity of the autonomic nervous system appeared unchanged by prolonged sitting, as indicated by heart rate variability assessment. And second, the central and peripheral arterial stiffness were unchanged by prolonged sitting, regardless of CO2 level. And third, endothelial function measured by flow media dilation and the microvascular oxygenation delivery capacity were significantly impaired following prolonged sitting. And the hypercapnia was worsening this effect. Together, this finding partially confirms our hypothesis that mild hypercapnia exerts an aggravating effect on endothelial and microvascular function during prolonged sitting in healthy individuals.
Thank you, Song. Very interesting finding. Camilla, you're a vascular biologist who studies isolated vessels. I wonder if you could comment on potential mechanisms at the cell level that might be at play here with this prolonged sitting paradigm, especially in the lower limbs.
Thank you, Irv. Thank you, Karen Song, for being here today. So blood flow and pressure are the most important mechanism to control local vascular tone. And we know that blood flow and pressure can induce vessels to stretch under different biological or physical mechanisms. Regarding flow, we know that flow induces vasodilation, whereas pressure causes mechanical distension, I mean stretch, and subsequently myogenic tone. So we know that flow-mediated vasodilation via shear stress is one of the most important physiological mechanisms to release nitric oxide. But also other endothelial-derived factors such as EDH and or COX-derived prostanoids. We know that nitric oxide generated from endothelial nitric oxide synthase is the critical biochemical that mediates responses to shear stress. And regarding to Song studies, we know that prolonged sitting would induce changes in shear stress, force, and consequently reduction to nitric oxide. That's a main characteristic of endothelial dysfunction. And a continual and repetition of this short-term inactivity may lead to a continual lack of nitric oxide. And this phenomenon may lead to a vascular remodeling or reduction in the lumen diameter of the arteries and consequently would lead to a damage to the organs.
Thank you, Camilla. I think what's really remarkable is that the fact that shear stress can augment nitric oxide released by endothelial cells has been known for a very long time. But it's really interesting that even very short levels of inactivity and ostensibly reduction in shear stress can also alter vascular regulation in the limb as mediated by or shown by flow-mediated dilation.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
Actually, Song, your work really changed my life, my lifestyle, actually. During this COVID-19 pandemic, we are sitting at our computers more, right? Doing two virtual meets and what you're doing right now, actually. And I try to give myself a break from the computer by stand up and walk. So regarding your work, it seems that these individuals, the patients that you evaluate, are relatively fit. They have higher VO2 max and higher step count, such as higher than 10,000 steps per day. What would you predict to see in sedentary subjects with lower VO2 max or in patients with some conditions such as obesity or hypertension? Can you comment on that?
Sure. I believe that those lower VO2 max populations and who has more like a sedentary lifestyle, I believe that they may show greater reduction in the endothelial function and peripheral vascular function compared to people who have higher VO2 max and lean body mass, since it appears that higher respiratory fitness and muscular fitness, as indicated by lean body mass, may negate the attenuated vascular function in response to hypercapnic condition and the prolonged sitting.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Let me ask you another question. So have you ever or do you plan to correlate the duration of inactivity with changes in flow-mediated dilation? So I think your study, these subjects sat for 2 hours without moving their lower limbs. Is there a difference if it goes to 4 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours? What are your thoughts about that?
Actually, that's a really good question. So previous studies like Lee Stoner's or Padilla's group, they performed the time course study, and they found that after like 2.5 hours or 3 hours, those are similar deleterious effects compared to like 6 hours and 4 hours of prolonged sitting.
So there seems to be kind of a plateau after a certain period of time. I think our listeners shouldn't get this paradigm confused with people that are chronically inactive, people that may be, as Camilla pointed out, overweight, obese, and are essentially what we call, quote unquote, couch potatoes. That may be a much more involved set of circumstances. The other interesting thing here is the sympathetic nerve activity indices that you used, which were sort of indirect indices. Do you have any plans to directly measure sympathetic nerve activity?
So I am planning on recording muscle sympathetic activity by microneurography. in this same condition to examine the effects of skeletal muscle sympathetic nerve activity on endothelial function and peripheral vascular function in the healthy young age people and also in the middle age individuals. So by having sympathetic nerve activity without other neurologic inhibitors, we can examine the contribution of hypercapnic and prolonged sitting mediated changes in sympathetic nerve system activity on the vascular function.
One of the things that struck me when reading the paper is that this is very mild hypercapnia, but you really don't have really good indices of arterial PCO2. What are your thoughts about what might be happening in terms of that and whether chemoreflex becomes involved or reflex pathways are activated?
So our result showed that the endothelial function measured by FMD was significantly impaired following prolonged sitting in the hypercapnic condition compared to prolonged sitting in the ambient air condition. And since we do not have the blood CO2 level and muscle sympathetic activation measurement, and we do not know how much chemoreflex activated, but it seems like that there is definitely an activation of chemoreflex. And we saw that our subject periodically increased their breathing frequency during this prolonged sitting. Therefore, I think that the increased chemoreflex may elevate sympathetic nerve system activation. And this SNS may indirectly but critically influence nitric oxide, endothelium 1 and reactive oxygen species production in these individuals.
I think that's a reasonable insight. Thanks. Camilla, do you have any additional questions for Song?
Yes. Song, just based on Dr. Zucker's question, I was thinking about in patients that present, for example, obstructive sleep apnea, which is associated with increasing arterial CO2 and also sympathetic activity. Do you think that these patients, they would present in the filial dysfunction, would be more pronounced in sedentary patients with this characteristic? Or do you think patients with sleep apnea, they would have some adaptations and the vasculature and also the system would be adapted with this increasing arterial CO2 and the vessels would suffer more with this change? Can you comment a little bit about that?
I think those COPD patients, they already have elevated resting sympathetic outflow or sympathetic activation. They are more sedentary, definitely because they have less oxygen delivery capacity. And if you see those populations, those patients, they lose a lot of muscle mass in their skeletal muscle. And also when you measure their flow meter dilation, endothelial function, their endothelial function has been significantly attenuated. And also their microvascular function, there's more fibrosis in their peripheral vasculatures. So I think, this prolonged sitting will exacerbate their disease conditions.
We can't close this discussion without one final question that I'd like to hear your response on, Sung. Is, you know, everybody is now undergoing a lot of angst in sending their kids and grandkids back to school and during this COVID pandemic. And it's an enclosed space during the nice weather. Perhaps kids can go outside, but they're going to sit for 8 hours a day inside. Do you think that the need to rethink kinds of recommendations about air handling, air turnover, and the kind of atmospheric conditions that students are exposed to?
I mean, as long as the air quality outside is good, they should have more like the ventilation in their classroom. So as you may experience like a headache or like a fatigue after your airplane travel, so airplane CO2 level is a little bit higher than 1500 ppm, which we was used for this study. So I think, we need to change their air inside of the room like every couple of hours, I think, to prevent this.
And I think that's being thought of at many places. Well, I want to thank both of you for this interesting discussion. I hope our readers enjoy it. It's a highly relevant study to human physiology and everyday life. And thanks again. Kara, back to you.
Thanks for listening. Would you like to hear more? visit the AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology homepage for our latest episodes.